Welcome back. You're listening to More Than Money and 770 CHQR. And before the break, we were talking to Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist with Manulife Investments. And we were talking about maybe the market hasn't priced in all the negative yet. And so there's a potential downside. And Philip, I wanted to kind of bring you back and chat with you because you and I have had many conversations while this whole situation has been going on. And our conversations have been about, you know, how deep can this really go? And we've done a very good job at having those conversations. You've done a very good job at giving us some data that we continue looking at. One thing that you and I talked about was, can this market fall 50%? So we're down about, let's call it 30% from February highs. Do you see another 20, 30% drop from here?
Quick answer is no, we don't. And here's where perhaps, I hope I'm not being overly optimistic, but because this recession is basically government mandated, the recovery will be somewhat government mandated too. And so we know how this ends. We know we'll get back to work. We know that we will get back to normal. It's only a matter of time. And so I don't think that this environment is like 2008 or even the worst case scenario like the Great Depression. A couple of reasons. One, again, because I think the government can say, all right, you know, go back to work. We think we've done enough. Whatever the end point is, I think they'll say we've done enough. Let's get back to normal. And two, because of everything that the government and central banks have done up to this point that we didn't see until later on in 08, didn't see until later on, well deep into the 30s, you know, well past the start of the Great Depression. So that gives me a little bit more optimism. Secondly, so when you look at valuation and stock market valuation and earnings and our thought towards earnings, it's hard for me to price in that type of drop. I think we are more than halfway through. I do think there's a little bit more downside from here, but I don't think it's the 25 to 30%. I think it's more the 5 to 15% range. But at these levels, you know, so I think one of the things that we need to think about is now how do we position for a recovery? Right? And that's what we're thinking about and spending our time on. And at these levels, historically, a dollar in the market is rewarded 12 to 24 months in.
And that's what you and I had a conversation on. I remember I woke you up so early in the morning. We were talking about this. And I'm like, Philip, the upside potential is way better. And I'm the growth guy on the team. So I get excited. I want to put more money in the equity markets at times like this, as long as I'm picking good companies. There's going to be the good, the bad, the ugly of companies out there. I think it's all balance sheet based. I think we need to look at that. But when you're looking at opportunities going forward, where do you start to slowly dip your toes into? Are we looking at good fiscally managed companies? Are we looking at, you know, those got hit hard, like cruise lines and hotels and stuff like that? Or where do we go with our money?
It's a little bit of everything. So one, obviously, we want to buy good companies. So I want to buy companies that have a good business model, that are fiscally responsible, that aren't over-levered, and companies that I think will come out of this in a better position. So when you mentioned the cruise lines, I'm not as convinced that people are going to be running back to the cruise lines right away. I think that's going to take a little bit of time. I think, for example, the airlines look a little bit better than that, mm-hmm. right? So, and the airlines have been absolutely beaten up. And again, I don't believe that the airlines are going to be allowed to go under because the government said, hey, you know, you can't fly across border now. So that's one area that I think is quite good. There are a number of consumer-related companies that, again, have been absolutely beaten up, good business models, good track record of a success, good management. And I think it's just a matter of time, again, when the government says go back to work, that people will be like, great, I can go out and pick up what I need to at these stores and whatnot. So it's being selective. Mm-hmm. Right now, I am looking at those companies that have been really beaten up and going through the fundamentals, looking at them and trying to price in what a recovery would look like and taking advantage of those before we look at the other ones that, you know, maybe they're only down, you know, 5 or 10%. Yes, they're good businesses, like the grocery stores, for example. It's like, well, you know, I don't think people are going to eat more food, mm-hmm. you know, as a result of this. I think they're going to continue to eat it as much as they have before. So that might not be as good of a company because it hasn't been beaten up enough for to look really attractive. So that's how we're looking at it. The ones that have been really beaten up, that look like solid businesses that are in a position to recover strongly, are the most attractive today.
What is your research showing about the energy market? Because if I don't talk about that on this show, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. We've got a lot of oil and gas companies hammered 60, 70%, whatever they may be. Oil's fallen as much. They're trying to recover a bit with Trump's comments and everything. What's the outlook for the commodity itself? And then let's talk about those companies here in Canada. How do they survive this?
Certainly. I mean, the first one is the commodity itself. First thing we have to understand is no producer is making money at these levels, whether you are a sovereign producer or a commercial producer. You are not making money. And this is really a game of attrition between the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Russia, the United States, and basically every oil producer is pulled into this as a result. We also believe that this can't go on for long because no one's making money. Even the Saudis aren't making money at these levels. So with that in mind, this will come to an end as well. And if we look 12 months out, I start to see higher prices for oil.
Okay.
Right. Is that back to the January highs of $60, $61 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate? Probably not. But is it somewhere between where we are today and $60? Yes, I think that's realistic. So there will be companies that will survive and do well as a result of that. It's really trying to, back to what you said, finding those good businesses, the ones that will make it, the ones that are in a better financial position with less leverage are the ones that are going to be rewarded. And while I believe that the energy sector, if I had to classify it or characterize it, I would say it is highly speculative at this point. But there are some bargains as well to be had there. If you believe, like we do, that this game of attrition won't go on for much longer, and 12 months out, oil prices will be higher than where they are today.
Philip, you're transitioning to or living in retirement. For those who are listening to our show are wondering, how do they position their portfolio? We've had numerous conversations on this too. If you're looking at a balanced portfolio today, and we normally consider balanced as 60% stocks, 40% bonds. In today's market, maybe a little bit of a difference. What are you guys seeing as the right mix between stocks and bonds at this point in time?
Well, we've been a little bit more defensive in terms of our positioning over the last almost year now. So we've been underweight stocks and overweight fixed income, and that split is 50-50. But as of the end of March, when we rebalance our model portfolio, we've actually increased our weight to equities by 5% now, but with an idea that we're going to continue to increase this weight over the coming quarters, because now the opportunity set looks attractive 12 months out. So I would say the first thing is rebalance to your target asset allocation. Our work shows that if you rebalance, you have a higher probability or you're going to get back to your prior level faster than waiting and hoping for the equity markets to rebound and leaving your asset allocation static. So rebalancing is key. But then within that portfolio, there are, and we've talked about this, there are a lot of companies that pay dividends. Now here you have to be careful about which company you own, because a lot of companies are suspending their dividend, energy sector being a key one. But there are other companies that are paying very attractive dividends that I believe are going to be maintained. And so at these levels, you can pick up dividend yields of 5, 6, 8% in some cases with companies that look to maintain that dividend over time. They're somewhat secure. So that's a way of enhancing your income overall. Then on the fixed income side, same here too. We're finding bond yields in the 5 to 9% range. Mm-hmm. So it's not just what you see the government of Canada offering in terms of its bonds. It's corporate debt, high quality corporate debt that are at attractive levels, and plus some high yield that's at attractive levels. And so these are ways to enhance your income by shifting your portfolio around to some of these opportunities.
Philip, it's been a long time since you and I have talked about dividend yields of 5 to 8%, rates of yield on return on bonds between 5 and 9%. It's been a long time. I get excited about these times because it's like shopping time for me, but it's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a little over 10 years. The last time that we talked about this, it was really 2009 when we talked about this last. And we have to recognize that we're only given these opportunities once every 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
And this is one of those opportunities. This is one of those times when we can take advantage of it. Because if we don't, I know from what we've gone through with 2008 and 9, there will be those that will regret it. And you never want to look back and say, I knew when it was yielding this or when it was priced at this that we should have bought, and I didn't do anything.
Absolutely. Philip, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
These are the challenges that every investor has, everybody transitioning to and living in retirement have concerns. So how do you separate your income so you don't have to worry about that through these types of market conditions and still get the opportunities for growing your portfolio like Philip and I were just talking about? We're going to have that solution for you on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. on a live online show. You do need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Okay, there's a lot of fraud happening. There's a lot of scams happening. We want you to come back, take a listen to what we have out there, because these scams, you have to know what's going on while we're all practicing self-isolation. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.